So in these post-Euro potential days of David Cameron's views on Europe, etc., I feel the best way to actually seek real wisdom on this piece, Jericho, is to go to Canadian extraordinaire, top anthropologist and general wonderment from indeed Royal Holloway College University, Dr. Fiona Moore. What say you? Do you think that's important?
I think that's very important.
Fiona Moore, do you think Cameron's done the right thing, the wrong thing, or somewhere in between?
I've been asking myself that ever since he made his decision. The problem is, you know, there's so many, Rumsfeldian unknowns going on there. On the one hand, you know, it seems like a sensible thing to stay away from the euro, considering what's just happened. On the other hand, with everybody else in Europe signed up to the deal, you know, being the only one out is might not be a good thing. Plus, the situation's so unpredictable. I mean, if you'd said to somebody 20 years ago that the euro would fail in this way, they wouldn't have believed you.
Exactly. And Lucy Mangan, in her suggestion in The Guardian today, writes, "This was the week we learned that the world's newest compound couple, Mercosi, was more Benifa than Brangelina, never really capturing the public's imagination or inspiring much faith, and running into trouble even more quickly than doomsayers predicted. It's a bit like when your house is actually on fire. At this stage, according to Lucy Mangan, even wetting yourself in panic would be progress." A bit harsh and a bit sort of colourful, really, for the metaphor, but nevertheless, yeah. You know, it's okay.
Well, bluntly put.
I thought so. Same time as if we're talking financial details. Jericho, what do you think the security cost for the Olympics next year has actually been so far?
I couldn't even hazard a guess.
Okay. What about yourself, Fiona?
Whatever it is, it's too much.
£1 billion. £1 billion.
Yes. I'm picturing you doing a Dr. Evil as you say that.
Exactly. This is very true. In pounds. And probably rising from that point of view. Happiness on that front, but also something which I think certainly will be slotted into the Department of Grant funding workshops up and down the length and breadth of Britain, given that obviously as academics, Fiona, well aware that we need to sort of increase our productivity and bring in more scenarios, particularly when it comes to research. Philip Ball argues it's a good job Einstein didn't need a grant. The kind of idle pastime that might amuse physicists is to imagine drafting Einstein's grant applications in 1905. I propose to investigate the idea that light travels in little bits, one might say. I will explore the possibility that time slows down as things speed up, goes another. Imagine what comments that would have elicited from reviewers for the German Science Funding Agency had such a thing existed. Indeed, Einstein did the work in any case while drawing his wages as a technical expert third class at the Bern Patent Office, and that is how he invented quantum physics and relativity. The moral seems to be really innovative ideas don't get funded, and that the system is set up to exclude them.
Well, I can't speak for your experience, but certainly I have to say my own hasn't exactly been terribly positive towards the grant giving organizations. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not entirely true. I have to say that when I first started getting grants, you know, everybody said, go to the ESRC. The ESRC are the go-to place for grants for social science research. Yeah. I've never gotten a grant through the ESRC.
Marie Curie, that's another organization that's been set up.
I can't really comment on that because I'm actually trying to get some funding.
Say no more. We love Marie Curie. Fantastic. Yeah. Just hellfire that one. Yeah.
I have to say, I've actually mostly gotten funding through private philanthropic organizations, mostly the Nuffield Foundation.
Right. Yeah, interesting.
Who I think, when you say, you know, studying the impact of ethnic identity on car companies are kind of a bit more likely to say, yeah, we can see money in that than the government are.
Well, exactly. And indeed, to wring research money from government agencies, the standard line is you need to write a proposal that gets assessed by anonymous experts, peer reviewers. If its ambitions are too grand or its ideas too unconventional, there is a strong chance it will be trashed. So does the money go only to safe proposals that plod down well-trodden avenues, timidly advancing the frontiers of knowledge a few nanometers?
This is true. And also you have this situation where, the recession happens and the granting bodies, HEFSI, immediately start shrieking, we must protect the hard sciences,
which, of course,
for one thing, aren't necessarily more, going to give more deliverables to industry than the social sciences and the arts. I mean, even considering how web-based the economy has become, an arts degree is actually probably worth more than a hard science degree these days.
Precisely. And there we are. And that's a statement we will take and use as a quote the next time we do our next batch of University of Lincoln Humanities-based prospectuses.
External examining for you, isn't it?
I can't possibly comment, you know, not on a public station. Dear me, good Lord, there could be all sorts of sort of other areas that come through on that. Let's move on to something. Actually, I'm going to throw out one of those ideas, which I was going to release to Alan Stevens earlier, but Alan's in the Forest of Dean, and thankfully Fiona's here. So I think it's only fair, actually, this one, Jericho, because this is a mega blast. I think this is a novel concept, which I think could actually have ramifications well along Who fandom and beyond. Given that David Yates is being touted as a director of a new big-screen Doctor Who film franchise, yes, I'm going to say those words, Harry Potter is Doctor Who. Doctor Who is Harry Potter. Hogwarts is Gallifrey. Harry Potter is the real name of the Doctor. It's not John Smith. The whole thing is all going to come together in a wonderful singularity, and the whole universes of Doctor Who and Harry Potter will collide in one huge, almighty mashup. She's put the phone down, hasn't she?
She's disgusted. She's disgusted with you. Cut all ties with your friendship.
One of the things that I was continually hearing as an accusation against the Davies era was, you know, oh, it's Doctor Who is Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But headcells and some bespectacled twerp bouncing around.
Yeah, exactly. You see, and I think, you know, that the time is reaching when we are, you know, clearly the Harry Potter film franchise with HB7B, Harry Potter Part 7, Part B, has actually sort of, you know, worked its way through. So clearly this Doctor Who, which I initially sort of tracked with a modicum of scorn, but, you know, it does seem to have proverbial legs, because after all, Fiona, it's not Brian Singer who's considering it.
Ooh, death.
What?
Seriously, I think, okay, totally off the record.
Yeah?
I think that the Battlestar Galactica movie is, well, I don't know if anybody said this to you when you were a young postdoc, but one thing that they said to me was, you've always got to have a project on the go. It doesn't matter if it's an actual project that you intend to do or not, but you have to have something so that when you're at the vice chancellor's reception and somebody says, "What are you working on?" You don't say, "Not a blind thing."
Precisely.
You say, "Why, yes, I'm doing a study of
Fiona. Only this very week, I submitted my ethical approval application form to the necessary bodies to actually confirm that my research into the media coverage of rural matters in the county of Lincolnshire and beyond is actually sort of ethically grounded in good media research techniques.
Well, one would expect no less.
Well, there you are.
Getting back on topic, I think that the Battlestar Galactica film is Brian Singer's equivalent. You know, it's whenever he has no projects on and somebody says to him, "So what are you doing now, Brian?" He says, "Why, I'm working on this Battlestar Galactica film." Then immediately it gets reported to the press. Everything gets tweeted around. Somebody drags James Olmos out to make a statement, blinking and...
Well, they can't do it with Lorne Greene, can they? Because they'd be tapping the table. So let's be honest, you know, there's only one Adama that's around at present.
When the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm sure they'll be able to ask Lorne Greene, but he might not be too communicative.
Well, he has had some good singing songs. He was a singing star before he went into acting, but there we are. That's another whole world for Lorne Greene. In fact, I'm sure we could dig out some Lorne Greene material, but thankfully not today.
Actually, one of the extras on the DVD of the original series, there's a lot of outtakes from the, particularly from the pilot episode that later got made into a movie, including one absolutely awful sequence of everybody singing the Colonial National Anthem. But in the close-ups, you know, you can hear Lorne Greene singing his bits, and he is actually making a very good fist of it, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's you know, he was not for nothing did he actually work with Dan Blocker, Michael Landon, and Pernell Roberts in Bonanza. Anyway, you seem to have skirted the Harry Potter Doctor Who line, Fiona.
Because I am firmly convinced that the only person who can play Doctor Who in the new movie is the guy who played Grand Moff Tarkin in the final 5 minutes of. The Revenge of the Sith. But that's a joke that's probably going to go over the heads of most modern Doctor Who fans.
it's a thought. It is a thought.
We have to maintain continuity. I mean, Bernard Cribbins is still around.
Yeah, that's true.
He has to be the companion.
Yeah, inevitably.
Although with Roberta Tovey getting on a bit, we'll have to have Russell Tovey instead.
True indeed. Yeah. There we are. You see, that's kind of... I can see your eyes glazing over, Jericho. It's all right. I know. You're thinking about the game. You're going into it.
Yeah,
it's all there. Sadly, this week, although we did do a London location report and we did also connect, as mentioned, with Liz Brewer, party expert extraordinaire with the Actors' Church in Covent Garden, and Richard Fitzwilliams and Jane Clark, we were a day late when it came to actually touching base with Ilana Raine, because her 9-day movie shoot had come to an end and she was actually winging her way back to Canada. She should say it was going to be a bit tight to actually sort of get all her luggage across to Covent Garden and meet up with us there and then get off to Heathrow, which is understandable. Did you manage to contact Ilana yourself while she was over here filming? How did it go? Have you seen her? Or was it a case of no, we just didn't speak at all?
Oh, no, we did have a, we had a great time.
That's all right, then.
Put me on to, in fact, you know, if you're listening, Ilana, thank you. Because she's put me on to a group of Battlestar Galactica fans who have been absolutely invaluable in terms of tracking down rare scripts, unfilmed material, things like that.
So you
all
see.
Of which is going into the book.
There we are, Happiness
which
Personified.
Which is coming out early next year.
Just in time for Christmas 2013.
Yes, well, just in time for the anniversary of the double anniversary, the 30th anniversary, the 25th anniversary of the 35th anniversary of the original series, and the 10th anniversary of the screening of the pilot of the reimagined series.
Fantastic! I mean, what a wonderful way we actually worked around to celebrate the 35th and 10th anniversary of various series in all sorts of ways. Proves that, you know, prizes all round, prizes for everybody, celebrations in all good times.
You can't keep a good series down.
Have you actually got a title for this opus? I mean, will it be as sort of the standard wonderful David Howe Telos Publishing Books line, which is Battlestar Galactica: The Unauthorized Guide by Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens?
Well, it's called By Your Command, The Unofficial and Unauthorized Guide to Battlestar Galactica.
Right. Yeah.
But as I'm sure Alan must have mentioned at some point, it is actually split into two volumes.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. Volume 1, Original Series and Galactica 1980, is the first to come out, and we've just completed the second draft of edits, so somebody has miraculously found a copy of Fire in Space, the original version, so there may be a slight delay while we add that material.
And, it's just all go.
Volume 2 should come out towards the end of 2012, as you said, just in time for the Christmas market.
Exactly, yeah. Although I did say Christmas 2013, because I figure that Christmas 2012 will be too busy dealing with the apocalypse, which is scheduled for the 12th of December 2012.
Yes, well, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, just sort of thinking, yeah, the positive side of that is we don't have to worry about Christmas cards or presents for 2012, really. Skip it to 2013.
Was it the Aztecs or the Mayans that did the...
they ran out of stones, Fiona. That's the bottom line. You know, the stones went up to a certain period, 2012, and the Mayan calendar said, can't do any more, you know. Or maybe they knew something that they weren't revealing to us at the time.
Yeah, so there was an archaeologist busy raining on that parade on the BBC the other day.
But not raining stones, otherwise he would have had to seek medical help for that particular condition, and quite rightly so too. So, we've covered grant routines, we've covered that sort of potential for who blocking together all sorts of ways. I did think they might have actually gone for the title So Say We All, which is what I entitled my own little lecture about Battlestar Galactica to the students.
Somebody got there first.
Did they? Yeah. Well, there you are, you see. It's always the way. Never mind.
So, the good thing about By Your Command is that it works. It's the one phrase from Battlestar Galactica that appears in every single series of Battlestar Galactica so far.
Technically, of course, it should be said, By Your Command. Actually, that's more Robbie the Robot from Fireball XL5 as opposed to Battlestar Galactica.
Or Stephen Hawking.
Just say it like Sharon Valeri says it. Or Zoe.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's a whole range of things coming through on that particular thing, which I won't even go into at this stage. What does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Fiona?
Not that much, really. Mostly because we've spent the last month catching up on the Battlestar Galactica book, you know, doing the edits and getting it absolutely ship-shape and, at the same time trying to keep up with teaching commitments, publication deadlines, and public sector workers' strikes. Yes, I was out on a picket line.
Just as long as you didn't speak to that nice Jeremy Clarkson about the, such matters, then that's okay. You know, we don't have to worry about things like that. You know? Sensitive, I think,
no,
his approach to things.
I did not speak to that nice Jeremy Clarkson about such matters.
There we are. It's okay then.
He was too busy driving down the road, taking advantage of the lack of traffic warning.
There you go. You see, that's it. It's a matter of balance, clearly. You know, as I said only this week, you know, who are our contemporary equivalents to journalists and writers who actually agitate for change? The equivalents to Engels, to Charles Dickens, to, you know, Cruikshank. Is it Jeremy Clarkson? It's a rhetorical question. Is it Jeremy Clarkson? I don't know. Enough of such stuff. We could have actually looked at his column in The Sun today, but no, perhaps not. I think it's early time, and Jerry's got
it. The last one caused a bit of a furore when he said that trains shouldn't stop for people committing suicide.
No, the heavy bits should actually be taken away. Any bits they couldn't find should be left to Foxy Poxy and the birds to actually nibble away at, really. You know, that's the key thing. So counselling for the platform, and just bear in mind it isn't a highly effective way of actually topping yourself, but you know, clearly we won't go down that line. It's just, sensitivity, I think, was to the fore in terms of Monsieur Clarkson. But then again, he has been known for that, so there we are. I just raise that other rhetorical question. Where in the scheme of things, you know, 5,000 plus complaints to the BBC for Clarkson, just 3 for Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross and Andrew Saxgate, etc., until the Daily Mail got hold of it. I just wonder where BBC contracts actually stand these days. It's an interesting line, really. Hypocritical? Maybe. Anyway, as I say, life continues in its own merry ways. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Fiona Moore?
Oh, it's been great. It's been wonderful to catch up with you.
Well, there we are, shooting the breezes and sorting all sorts of other bits and pieces. And we will speak again very shortly. I actually need to send you an email to talk about various things relating to modules and so on and so forth. Another one of my colleagues was saying, oh, does that mean that you're also looking after new media cultures? Initially, I thought it was, but actually, it's something we will speak about that. It might be another module which will come your way, which will extend the externalship in all sorts of other ways.
Okay.
This means nothing to the listener.
See more externalships coming in.
Well, you see, that's it. You see, it's something to tell them at the Christmas party, you know?
Absolutely.
So what are you doing then? Well, I'm external exam for Lincoln. What, you mean Lincoln? The university is actually in the top 50 of British institutions these days. Well, yeah, absolutely. Very good. Yeah, very good indeed. Marvellous. Life continues. Fiona Moore will return and give our best to Alan, and I'm sure we'll speak to both of you, hopefully, just ahead of the Christmas festive period.
Yes, I should hope so. He's coming back today from the Forest of Dean, so... He'll be around.
By your command.
Yep.